I'll begin reading in Luke 14 and verse number 16, and then you'll join me on verse number 17 all the way through verse number 24. Luke chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man had made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto him, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Let's finish on verse 24 together. "For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we do thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, what a joy it is to be a Christian. Lord, what a joy it is to, well, not just live life on a wish or a whim, but Lord, we can stand firm and sure on the promises of God's word. Lord, thank you for the word of God in our life and what it means, the stability that it brings, and the promises, Lord, that we have that we can obey by faith. Lord, this morning, we'll ask that we be yielded to you. We've enjoyed the singing. We've enjoyed the fellowship. Lord, Sunday school was good. But now we come to the preaching of God's word, the most important time. Lord, you have a message prepared for us. May our hearts be tender. May our minds be focused. We'll yield ourselves to you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus, here in Luke chapter 14, is speaking. According to verse number 3, he's speaking to a group of lawyers and Pharisees. That means lawyers and religious people, people that were high up in the religious hierarchy, and they're all upset that Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath. Now, you have to understand something. Listen to me very carefully here. Remember that in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus started the church, and he started it on the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is Saturday. The Lord's Day is Sunday. Jesus was bucking the Jewish traditions with the starting of the church. That's why they hated him. That's why you see the disciples going soul winning at the temple. They would often go to the temple on Saturday to get converts to take them to church on Sunday. They went to where people wanted the truth, but they were getting lied to. And by the way, these are the same religious people, the same lawyers who eventually would crucify Jesus. Be careful. Jesus was not following the traditions of religion. Church met on Sunday. So to him, Sabbath, he was the fulfillment of all Sabbaths. He had completed those things. Now, Jesus started the church. His whole ministry, the 3.5 years that he was here on the earth, he was building the first church. Now, you have to understand something. The word church had never been used until Matthew chapter 16. Kind of like 2 years ago that you had never heard of something called COVID. Look how fast that grew. It was something new. Now, you have to understand something. The church and the temple are not the same thing. Sunday is not the Gentile Sabbath. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament temple. And according to Colossians chapter 2, all those things were nailed to the cross. He paid for them. That's why he instituted the church, and we don't have the temple today. That's why we're not to follow the temple style of people would call it worship or religion, so to speak. Can I tell you something? Those things were nailed to the cross. You say, preacher, how come you don't wear a robe? Indecent exposure. Those things were nailed to the cross. I don't have to wear the Levitical. They were completed through Jesus as our high priest. He died as our lamb. He resurrected as our high priest. And all those things were paid for at Calvary by him. Now, you have to understand, he was showing people how the church was to be and what he wanted it to be. It didn't make sense to the religious people. Can I tell you why? They were going to lose money, and they were going to lose fame, and they were going to lose power. They were upset with Jesus because they had the corner market on money and power with the religious crowd. And all of a sudden, here comes this raggedy old carpenter son who claims to be the Son of God, who won't even worship at the temple and has started his own religion. No, he was fulfilling the word of God. Amen. Now, while Jesus was talking to these religious people and these lawyers, Jesus gives us I'll use the word parable or a story. Now, recently I took, 20, 30 Wednesday nights and taught on the parables. A story doesn't have to be true to teach a truth. Too many preachers get wound up on the story and say, well, it's just a story. The story wasn't the issue. It's an illustration of a truth. And the truth is what is important, not the story. Does that make sense to everybody? I often will use an illustration. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that actually happened, but it's an illustration of the truth. That's what a parable was. It wasn't a fable. It wasn't just a moral thing that was kind and a good way to show somebody how to tell a good story. No, the truth was the issue, not the story. Now, while Jesus is talking to these educated idiots, religious people and lawyers, he talks to them about a man who had planned a big meal. He was planning a party, and he invited all kinds of guests. This man was a very wealthy man. He had, a very long list of popular and successful business people. And the Bible says that he got things ready, and he told one of his servants, go out and open the doors. We're ready for the party to start, and let all of our invited guests in. Well, the servant goes out, and the decorations are set. The place settings are there. The silverware's in place. Everything's where it's supposed to be. The food's being prepared. And when the servant goes out, everybody starts saying, well, we can't come. And they begin to give excuses, and the invited guests begin to leave. They all had excuses. One says, I bought some land. I need to go look at it and see if it's worth anything. Now, anybody that buys land before they look at it isn't real bright. You know, even their excuses aren't very good. One guy said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I bought 10 oxen, and I need to go out and prove them. Would you go out and buy 5 cars before you ever drove them? The only guy that had a valid excuse was, one guy said, I got married, my wife won't let me come. he's the only one that has an excuse. Wait a minute. the servant, he hears all these excuses coming at him, and he goes back to what the Bible says, the Lord of the house. Notice small L, not capital L-O-R-D, talking about the fellow who was actually throwing the party. And he goes back and tells the owner there, he said, look, all the people that you've invited, they're not coming. They made excuse. And the Bible says that that man got angry. He had prepared all these things for all these invited guests, these important people, and he got angry that they started giving excuse. He said, I tell you what, I want you and get everybody you can to go out, go into the streets and the lanes and find the halt, the maimed, and the poor and just bring them in. I'm not going to not have a party. Let's just go get people who want to come. And they went out and did it. And he came back and he said, sir, we've done as you have commanded, and yet there is still room. Now watch this. Then he said, I want you to go out into the highways and hedges, and I want you to compel them to come in. But I want you to notice the next statement. So that my house may be filled. So that my house may be filled. Look at me. Jesus, I believe, was talking to us. Jesus wants his house filled. I think it's a shame that churches shut down. He wants his house full. He doesn't want it partially full. He doesn't want to hear the excuses. He wants his house full. I don't know about you, but I'd like to obey God, Brother John. I hope someday, Brother Greg, when I get to heaven, God could look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many. Not for my sake, I just want him to say, you obeyed me. Grace Baptist Church, if we are to obey our Savior and our God, it's our job to go out and fill his house. Now, some of us are filling out our clothes better and better, but that's not what he's talking about here. By the way, you like my new suit? Everybody go, ooh. It's an $800 suit I picked up for $19.99 on the clearance rack. You can ask my wife. The tag on it said $798.99. You didn't know I was in such tall cotton, did you? Shoot. I wouldn't pay that much for 10 suits. Good night. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said that we are to go out and invite those who will come and compel others so that his house will be full. I would like to make Jesus happy with Grace Baptist Church. I'd like to make God happy with Grace Baptist Church. That means Grace Baptist Church, we have to go out and compel them to come in. We've got to go out and invite them to make him happy. Let me show you what Jesus tells us and how we can do this. Number one, the house had to be ready. Notice verse number 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, watch this, for all things are now ready. Can I tell you something? We have pilgrimed a church. We have pioneered it. We started with nothing in a hotel room. And then we went from one hotel to another and back and forth, and sometimes Sunday morning and one Sunday night and another. Then we rented a building. Then we rented another building while we built this building. now we have Sunday school classes, and we've got our junior church, and we've got all of our things in place. We've got the building built. We've got the parking lot. We've got our nurseries, and we've got nursery workers. We've got Sunday school classes and Sunday school teachers. We've got all of the things that we need that are in place, and the house is ready. Now let's go fill it. Let me ask you a question. Why did we go through all that if we're not going to compel people to come in? What good is it if we just build a building and everybody drives by and say, oh, that's a nice building? Brother Fugit, he told me, he said, Brother Bush, he said, you have one of the prettiest churches and church settings in America. He said, I'll promise you, you have one of the five prettiest churches and church settings in America. I believe that. Matter of fact, I think it's number one. Amen? I'm a little biased, but we have everything set. Everything's ready. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got nursery workers. We've got junior church. We've got junior church workers. We've got ushers. We've got deacons. And, well, we could get rid of it. No. We've got all the things necessary that we need to keep things going. Now it's time for us to go out and compel them to come in. And say, preacher, well, look around. The auditorium's getting full. Oh, we can squish the chairs and get twice as many people in here. It's going to take a little bit of work, but it's going to be work that's worthwhile. I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. I've said it in the last week or so. In 2022, I have a goal for Grace Baptist Church. In 2022, I would like us to add 22 new families to the membership of this church. We're going to call it 22 in 2022. Say, why is that, preacher? Who else is going to do it? That means almost two families every month we need to get in church and join our church. Notice I said we, not me. I can't do it myself. Now, I'm going to pull my weight, trust me. I don't think there's any doubt that Brother Josh and I aren't afraid to pull our weight around here. He doesn't have as much to pull as I do. But I'm not really pulling mine. I'm dragging it. God has been so good to us. Look around. Do you remember when we had our first service out where those little 10 spots are down at the bottom out there? And you all looked at the jungle and said, preacher, are you sure? Some of you were here. You couldn't see the vision that I had for this property. Look at it now. I even roped it off and said, this is where the building's going. Y'all said, it's going to go where? Right there. I can't see that. Well, I could. And look what God has done. But what good is it if it sits here ready and nobody shows up? What good is it if we don't even show up? Ouch. Wouldn't it be a shame for us to have all this and not fill it? By the way, we already have plans approved for the next building. Say why? They wanted an extended plan, so I have an extended building. This area right here is where building number two will go. Have no problem with that. But it's not going to happen just because we put a sign out front that Brother Larry made that's beautiful. And because we have our parking lot and cars in it and say, all right, we're open, y'all. You come here. No. Matter of fact, many of the invited guests make excuses and don't show up. So it's our job. We have the house ready. That means this. Some of y'all are going to have to help. We're going to need people to help clean buildings. We've got some help, but we need some others to step up and say, Brother Josh, I could come in for a couple hours or an hour a week and clean something for you. Thank God for the little crew of people that do things, but can I tell you something? I'm just going to say it. He's not above cleaning buildings, and neither am I, but he's more important elsewhere than cleaning buildings. Everybody doing okay? It's not that that's a bad job, but his expertise is people more than cleaning. So we need extra help. Everybody doing okay? Things are in place. Things are ready. Now we've got to go out and fill it. Notice what he said. compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want you to notice that word filled is in the aorist tense, or the linear tense, which means filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled. That means Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Everything that we do, we ought to be trying to fill the house of God. Number two. Are you ready? That was the easy part. Swallow hard. People will offer every kind of excuse not to come. Boy, do we live in such a complacent society. Don't be surprised when people start giving excuses as why they can't come to church. Do you know I've been knocking on doors and telling folks about Jesus for over 40 years? I have heard every excuse known to man. You'd be surprised. May I say something? The farther from God our nation gets, the farther from right our nation gets, and the farther from right churches get, the more excuses people will have. Well, I don't like the slower music. I like the contemporary rock and roll stuff. Rock and roll came from Satan, not God. Why do we want to bring the world's music into God's house? Well, it's got good words to it, preacher. That's like saying, I'll put your steak dinner in the trash dumpster out there and let you dig through it to get your steak dinner. We're not going to bring the world's methods with God's message and have it God's way. This isn't Burger King. You don't have it your way. This is God's methods. It's military chow. You hold your plate out, we flop it on there. God did it. Let's just obey him. Amen. The farther from right we get, the more excuses people are going to have. My dog was sick. Oh, I have a dog too, but I'm not going to let it keep me from going to church. Well, I've just been so tired, preacher. How do you think Jesus felt? The more things people have, the more excuses people have. Well, I've got a boat and I've got to put it in the water. Or I've got hunting season's coming, preacher, and I got to go shoot. I tell you what, don't go on Sunday, go to church. Don't go on Wednesday night, go to church. I'll bet you God will bless you in spite of it. I've proven that over and over and over and over again. Everybody doing okay? Okay, now I'm going to meddle. Sports and entertainment have become a god in America. I think it's criminal. I got to watch the Ohio State game yesterday, and they won. Better than LSU. At least they're in the top four. Now, listen to me. 109,000 people crammed into a football stadium. I wonder how many went to church today. Football stadiums all over America will be filled at professional stadiums today to watch a bunch of goons wrapped in spandex chasing a dead pig through a pasture, kicking it through some plumbing at the end of the field. Some of those guys are so big they look like two hogs in one sack. And yet we'll spend hundreds of millions of dollars per stadium, per game, but we won't go to church. I don't have time to go to church. I got to watch the football game. You tell me when you stand before God how important some stupid football or baseball game was. Everybody doing okay? Stay home to watch your favorite TV show or movie. Uh-oh, things are getting pretty serious now, aren't they? It's amazing how much entertainment has pulled us away from God, and entertainment has become God. I love sports. Man, I've played a lot of them, but can I tell you something? There's a whole lot more to life than sports. I don't watch pro football games. I don't watch pro baseball games. I don't watch professional sports. Can I tell you why? I refuse to watch people who get paid millions of dollars to trashed their country. Bend their knee to the flag, but they won't bend their knee to their God. Well, there's some good Christian athletes, preacher. If they're so good, well, how come they're not in church today? They can't be right with God if they're playing football today and didn't go to church. According to the scripture. Everybody doing all right? Let me give you another God in America. Making money has become a God in America. Well, I got to work. And I understand if you're forced to work. And I'm not saying that there's not a time where that you're not going to be forced to work on a Sunday. I get that. But it ought to be that you were forced to, not because you chose to. Too many people are choosing to work during church instead of being forced to. Isn't it amazing how much we'll do for money? And yet let the preacher get up and say that God says you're supposed to tithe and I'm a money grabber. I didn't say it. God said it. I just told you what he said. I've never held a gun to your head saying you have to give something. I was talking to some folks that had visited our church recently, and they said, we went to a church, and they said that if we joined their church, that we had to give them our banking account number and our routing number, and they would automatically withdraw our tithe from our checking account. Folks, that's robbery, and that's making money off of God's people, and that's wrong. Anybody that's involved in that are a part of something that's not of God. God says you bring it willingly. You got to face him for your disobedience, not me. You got to face him for your obedience, not me. I'm accountable for me and wherever my wife is. She must be in the nursery. I look down and she's gone. Oh, man, I made her mad already. Shoo. Can I tell you something? Money has become a god in America. The trouble is, we have an administration right now who's hiking prices up to where mom and dad both have to work 5, 6, 7 days a week just to be able to pay for things, and the prices of everything's going up, and it's going to be harder and harder for you. But if you'll make the sacrifice to obey God with going to church, I promise you, God will bless. I promise you. There used to be an old gospel song. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it to you. But it says it so well, and because I didn't write it, I can just read what somebody else wrote, and you can get mad at them and not me. It goes like this. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them. If the church, from church, you'll stay away. When the people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or to just stay at home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kin folks will drop in. Well, the church benches are too hard and that choir sings way too loud. But you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. The doctor told you, now you better watch those crowds, they'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because it says it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? While the whole family had to stay at home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young. That's not here. And maybe he's too old. Hush up. The sermons, they're not hard enough. And maybe they're too bold. His voice is much too quiet-like. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, that preacher we have must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me the other day, well, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses. Excuses. You hear them every day. Can I tell you something? We can find, you know what an excuse is? It's a lie wrapped up in a reason. Isn't it amazing how sick you can be on the weekend, but you're good enough to crawl into work? Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying that if you're sick that you ought to show up to church and barf all over the floor or something. Trust me, I'd rather you not. Brother Josh didn't want to clean it up. Amen. wait a minute. I understand health issues. But it's amazing, we sure can do what we want to do. People will give an excuse, but keep on inviting them. So, well, they said they'd come one time. Did you know it'll probably take 10 times before they'll come? So, first of all, the house is ready. Second of all, people are going to offer every kind of excuse. Number three, we need to find those who want to come and invite them. Notice what he said in verse number 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. There's a reason on our church sign and on every gospel tract that we pass out, it says, our church is a hospital, not a museum. I don't care if they're red, green, purple, black, white, chartreuse. I don't care what color they are. Bring them in. Did you know somebody's soul has no color? By the way, I'm colorblind. I can't tell anyway. Neither can God. Doesn't matter. By the way, doesn't matter if they're poor. Doesn't matter if they're rich. Doesn't matter if they have a handicap, what you call a handicap, physical or emotional or mental, or whether they're perfect like you. God says every person is important. Go out and bring them in. I'm in 2022, we're going to get ready and we're going to start a special needs ministry for adults. I'm excited about it. I'm working and working and working and working at it. There's some things I'm working through, but can I tell you something? We're going to go out and reach those folks. They need to be reached. They need to be helped, and their families need to be reached. Did you know that every person is important to God?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that every person has a soul and it's important to God? By the way, church ought to be a place where everyone is welcome. I'm going to say something. You don't get to control the menu of what's said. I answer to God for what you hear. I'm not going to take a survey and find out what you want to hear. You say, why, preacher? Because I get my orders from headquarters, not from you. I'm just going to be very honest with you. And it's not that I don't care about you. I think if you'll come a few weeks, you'll find out I care an awful lot. I try very hard to make sure that you get what you need. But did you know when you were growing up, mom and dad didn't feed you candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Even though you may have liked it. You didn't get pie and cake and dessert at every meal and skip the entree and the vegetables. Every once in a while, if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, you got a little Board of Education meeting upside the seat of knowledge. Amen. Every once in a while, you need the man of God to come in and kick in the seat of the britches and say, thus saith the Lord. Don't get all upset at me. That's what God said to do. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm not the one who wrote the message. But can I tell you something? We're going to get our orders from headquarters, not what the community wants. I was talking to somebody recently and they said, well, preacher, I'm afraid to give this person the gospel because I might offend them. Everybody look at me for a second. Listen to this statement very clearly. How much more offended can they be when they die and go to hell? I would rather offend them with the gospel than to be kind to them and let them die and go to hell. I didn't say you had to be mean and rude and crude. But you don't have to be afraid to give anybody the gospel. Nobody. I give the gospel at every funeral. I gave the gospel at my own mother's funeral. Matter of fact, she told me to. But even if she didn't, I was going to anyway. Say why? People's hearts are tender. They need to hear the gospel. It might be the only time they hear it and listen to it and might respond to it. Well, I don't want to be offensive. Well, don't say it in an offensive way, but I'd rather let the gospel offend somebody and they get their feathers ruffled and they realize they're a sinner needing a savior and get saved than for them to not get their feathers ruffled and die and go to hell. Well, we need to be sociably acceptable in the community, preacher. Have you seen those weirdos? You think I want them to accept me? Go to the airport sometime and look at what walks through these days. I was at Dulles Airport waiting on Brother Fugit, and this thing walked by. I'm not exactly sure what it was. And they looked at me and said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I haven't figured it out." There was an older lady standing about from here to John away from me. She said, "Oh, that's funny." She turned her head and went, she said, "You're pretty bold." I said, "No, they're the stupid ones, not us." I said, "They think we're weird." And she just giggled. She said, "I like you." I walked over and gave her a gospel tract. She said, "You're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, I preach just like that." She said, "I might have to come here. You." And, you know, you don't have to be afraid of those people. I'm having too much fun right now. You know, I'm not going to change the spiritual food just to bring more people in the door. We're not going to change the Word of God to attract more people. We're going to go out, reach people, and bring them in because they want to come in. And they've been invited to come in. And they're going to get the same thing you've been getting. I'm not changing anything. I've watched churches as they grow, they change their message. They change their methods so they can reach more people. I'm not interested in having a big church. I'm interested in having a full church. I'm interested in obeying God and trying to fill the house of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Pardon my redneck ways here, but we're all going to eat from the same trough. Doesn't matter if you're educated, uneducated, rich, poor, fat, skinny, what color you are, doesn't matter. We're all going to eat out of the same trough. Amen. By the way, his trough has pretty good stuff. Our diet will be what God dictates, not what man wants. Notice that Jesus calls the church his house. His house. Let's invite everybody. Let's go get what the world says are the unimportant people. You know, there's no such thing as an unimportant person. Well, maybe Nancy Pelosi. Or Chucky Schumer. Can I tell you something? They're all important to God. God gave everything for each and every one of them. Number four, God wants us to compel them to come. Look at verse 23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges," not bushes, "and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." Do you know what the word compel means? It does not mean take their arm, twist it behind their back, and walk them in handcuffs. The word compel means to necessitate, to make it needful, to constrain them. Do you know why some people don't go to church? Because they don't think they need to. People think, "Well, I'm good. I don't need church. I'm strong enough without it." No, you're strong enough when you're in church, not when you're out of church. I'll promise you. You can only be strong physically and emotionally outside of church, But to be a completely strong person, you have to be strong physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you are not spiritual enough to get all of your spirituality on your own. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He wants his house full so that you come, get what you need, so that you can be strong enough to go back out into the world and reach more people and bring them to fill his house. If you went home and never ate, guess what? You're going to get pretty weak. Well, I'll eat somewhere else. Yeah, you may, but eventually you're going to run out of money. And if you don't eat, you get weak. Some of you might be very, very strong with as much as you eat. But what we eat, as well as the fact that we are eating regularly, God says, let's go out and compel them. Let's show them that they need church. Let's show them that they're needed at church. And by the way, you're needed at church. One of the things that keeps me busiest as pastor of this church is making sure each and every one of you know that I need you and that God needs you.
That's good.
I stay busy trying to, by the way, we're getting ready to expand and to do some new things in Sunday school and different things. And that's because of growth, not because somebody's doing a bad job. And I need some more areas for people to step up into, so we'll change some things so that they can grow and they'll reach more people, and that helps us grow as well. Growth precipitates growth. Boy, that's important. God wants to make people feel or be needed at church. Can I tell you something? You're needed at Grace Baptist Church. I pray for you daily. I call your name daily to God, personally. Many of you get a text from me. Say, why? Because you just throw out a group text, preacher? No, I text you individually. You say, why? Because this preacher needs you. I had a dear person come to my office this week, and they were a little timid. It was first time we had actually met in person like that at length. And I said, before you get started, let me tell you something. You're not going to burden me. I need your problem. I get stronger because of your problem. Don't hold back. I need your heartaches. I need the preacher, I need help calls. Say, well, I don't want to burden you, preacher. You burden me when you don't call me. It gets worse. You say, why? Because I need you. You make me strong. That allows me to help you be strong. And together, we're stronger. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You say, well, preacher, you're just so busy. When I get too busy to help people, I want to die and go to heaven. If I get too busy to help the people I love most, it's time to die and go to heaven and be done. God compares, by the way, people need to see the importance of joining a church. Attending a church is different than joining the church. Now, you won't notice it at first, but you need to be a member of the church. God calls the church his bride. Did you know that if you never got married, then you're just shacking up? Sorry, I'm not real good about holding back on terms. But y'all didn't have a problem understanding what I said. I wonder how many saved people are just shacking up with the church instead of getting married to it. We ought not be afraid to join the membership of the church. By the way, that's what Jesus told us to do. We'll join anything in the world. How come we can't join God's church? Joining the church helps seal your move from out from the world into what God wants. It is a way, God, that's what the word church means. It is a called out assembly. Did you know this is what normal is? Did you know out there is not normal?
That's right.
Have you noticed? And the longer I live, the more unnormal it is out there. Can I tell you something? When you join the church, this is a place that God made to be more normal, more like what he wanted. We ought to join it, and it'll seal that in our hearts, in our minds. I love all of you ladies. I only married one. I can love all of you, but I only married one. Guess what? You can love all the people, but you can love all the churches, but you're to be members of one. It'll help you, I promise you. You say, well, you're just trying to get the numbers up. Who am I going to tell them to? You think the journal's going to publish it? Who's going to read it if I did? It's you officially joining into the family. Can I tell you something? Be an active member of the family. Be an active member of the family. My in-laws are part of my family. I love them. I help them. They're as much a part of my family as my own blood relatives. I don't have outlaws. Now, I have some in-laws that are a little farther away, and I'm glad. Can I tell you something? I'll take care of my mother and father-in-law same way I take care of my mom and dad. Promise you. Matter of fact, about 6-7 years ago, my in-laws asked me to be their medical power of attorney. Say why? They trust me. They love me. Huh. Do I always agree with them? But I like being an active... By the way, we'll strike this. Who do you think convinced them to sell their house and move from where they're at to move with my brother-in-law? I spent an hour and a half on the telephone with them after we had been there this summer. And I said, Mom and Dad, you moved there to take care of your family. All of your family is gone. You're 3.5 to 4 hours away from everybody in the universe. And you're in the middle of the Arctic. And in wintertime, we can't get to you. All of Dad's military hospital stuff is in St. Cloud where Doc's at. And it's a 4-hour drive. What in the world in God's name are you going to do if something happens in the middle of winter up there? We can't get to you. We need you to sell everything. We'll get you a nicer place to live, and you'll help Doc out. We're not interested in your things and all your... just put it together and be comfortable for the rest of your life. Who do you think was the one that talked to him? Nobody else wanted to face him with it. I love them. I want what's best for them. Huh. Maybe we ought to do our part in the family and help compel people to come in. We ought to be active. That means everywhere you go, invite somebody. Dad goes out to breakfast just about every day. Good night. He's got a place he haunts down the road here, a little country diner. Yesterday was his last day he was going to have breakfast there. They had about a dozen people there telling him goodbye. The waitresses were hugging him before he left crying. Every one of them know that when I walk in there on Friday mornings with him that I'm the pastor. I didn't tell him. He did. They know what church we're from. I thoroughly expect people to start coming to church from that. I really do. You say, what is that? Compelling people to come in. It's time for Grace Baptist Church to compel people to come in so that we can fill God's house. You say, preacher, we only got a few extra chairs in the back. I got half a shed full. I have plenty of chairs. We can squish them together and put some more in and a few more rows. I know how many people we can seat in here. And guess what? When we start filling it, it's going to get exciting. It's already exciting, but imagine how much more exciting it would be with 22 more families.
Amen.
And each of those families knows people that we can reach too. And before too long, we're going to be in another building program, but the preacher won't have to travel all the way across the county just to go to it. We can watch it come up right out here. Huh. Now, wait a minute. That means this. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. If you've been saved and never obeyed the Lord in baptism, it's time to do that. If you've never joined the church, let me challenge you. Join the church. I'm going to do something. Brother Harry, can I get a couple of you men? Brother John, how about you step up here? Yeah, I think you and John can handle this. Now, wait a minute. Hey, before you do anything, if you're willing to, either as an individual or as a family, commit to try to get one family in church in 2022, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to give you one of these cards. Hurry, fellas, hurry. Keep your hands up till you get it. That way we know who's got it. If you want one, if you want one per person. Do you need another one, Brother Steve? You can just put them together? Okay. And you can put more than one number on a card. If you want to reach more than one family, you may put that. I want you to put it as, by the way, I want you to fill that out. Your name, your address, all your information. By the way, I'm going to collect these in just a second, so I need you to do it. Stick your finger and write it in blood. If you need a pen, we'll throw some pens around. Our invitation is a little different, and I'm going to have a real invitation here in a second. But imagine what we could do if every family in here committed to reach one family. Do you realize we could double the size of our church in 2022? We really could. You say, well, I'm not sure. Hey, listen, you got 13 and a half months to reach somebody. If every family would just reach one family, and by a family, it might be an individual. Some people are single. Some people are widowed. I get that. But if you'll commit to God that you're going to reach one family, please fill that out. And in a moment, I'm going to have you pass them to the center aisles here. If you've got it done, just pass it to the center. And I'll give you just a second here. Folks, how about we decide we're going to obey God and we're going to fill his house? You say, preacher, what are you going to do with these cards? I'm going to pray over them. You're going to be getting a letter from me. I'm going to keep track of these. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire. I'm just going to remind you of your commitment. And by the way, we're going to get a big old banner up here. It says 22 in 2022. And as families join the church in 2022, we've got a little silhouette of families. And it'll say number one and have their name on it. Number two, all the way through 22. If we get more than 22, we're going to keep stacking them up there. Amen. You say, why? Because I believe that we're to fill God's house to obey him. Will you join me in filling his house? Let's pass all those to the center. Brother John, Brother Harry, if you'll come collect these for us. Just pass them all the way to the center quickly, quickly, quickly. Grab those. Don't play the bump in the center aisle there. Brother John, I'll take those. Brother Harry, I think we got a couple right here. If you didn't get it filled out in time, you can hand it to me on your way out. I have these. I'll give you an update later. But can I tell you something? That's a pretty good size stack right there. Think if each one of those represents a family. What that could do to this area. How do we fill God's house? That way. That's nobody doing any more than reaching one family. One family. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you'll join with me. I hope that you'll commit to reaching one family. If you've been coming, maybe you're new and you've not joined, how about you come today and join the church? If you've been saved and never baptized, we can baptize you and you can join the church all in one swoop. I'm not interested in a big church. I just want to fill the church God gave us. Let's fill his house.